This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the tafsir class. Today, inshallah, we'll continue talking about the children of Israel. We reached the ayah 83 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, and remember when we took a covenant from the children of Israel. Wa'idh. Wa'idh in Arabic, wa'idh always implies a word. Wadhkur. And remember when we took a covenant from the children of Israel. Worship none but Allah. And be dutiful and good to parents. Wa'idh akhadna mithaqa bani Israel. La ta'buduna illa Allah wa bil walidayni ihsana. And to kindred and to orphans and the poor. And speak good to people. And perform salah and give zakah. Then you slid back, except a few of you, while you are back sliders. This ayah mentioned several things that were taken from the children of Israel. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly said, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ. And remember when we took your covenant. What's the covenant that was taken from the children of Israel? There are many. This is one of them. And in this one, it includes also several things. The first thing, worship none but Allah. Worshipping Allah alone. Be dutiful to the parents. Now this gives you the significance of being dutiful to your parents. Because it came right after worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came even before establishing prayer. So this tells you that it is very important to be kind and dutiful to your parents. So this is one covenant, worshipping none but Allah, being dutiful to your parents and to the orphans, and speak good to people. Now this is a rule, not only for the children of Israel, but also for us as Muslims. Speak good to people. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Now speak good in any case. At any time, regardless of your feelings, speak good to people. It doesn't tell you speak good to Muslims. It tells you speak good to people. Yes, this ayah originally tells us about the children of Israel, but we are also commanded to follow these rules. And perform salah and give zakah. Now, were the children of Israel commanded to pray? We discussed that earlier, right? We mentioned that. Were they commanded to pray? Yes. Is it the same prayer that we have? It's different. It's not five times a day. Because this happened in the trip of Isra and Mi'raj. Before that, they had to pray. Give zakah. Also, they had to give zakah, but it's also different. Then you slid back. What does that tell you? Now remember, this is happening after they were saved from Fir'aun, after they worshipped the calf, after the miracle of the cow, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought back that man to life after the story of the cow. And now again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this covenant, yet what happened to them? Did they listen? Except a few of you. Only few of them fulfilled this covenant. So this is ayah 83. Now moving to ayah 84 and 85. And remember when we took your covenant, saying, again, this is another covenant, saying, shed not the blood of your people. وَإِذَا أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Nor turn out your own people from their dwellings. Then you ratified and you bore witness. This is ayah 84. Ayah 85. After this, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. After this, it is you who kill one another and drive out a party of you from their homes. Assist their enemies against them in sin and transgression. And if they come to you as captives, you ransom them, although their expulsion was forbidden to you. Then do you believe in a part of the book and reject the rest? Okay, back again. The first covenant was to worship Allah alone. The second covenant was to be dutiful to the parents. The third covenant to say good to people. This is in the previous ayah. In this ayah, what's the covenant here? Was taken from them? Not to shed the blood, right? Amongst themselves. Now, did they kill each other? The children of Israel? Did they kill each other?
Punishment.
No, the punishment, that was commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As forgiveness. Forgiveness, that happened earlier. Now here, this implies that they used to kill each other, but we don't find in the history that the Jews, they fought each other. So what? This ayah is talking about what? Shed not the blood of your own people, nor turn out your own people from their dwellings. Yes.
Killing them by not helping the poor and the
needy. No. How then you apply the second part of the covenant, nor turn out your own people? Did they turn out their own people from their dwellings? This ayah is talking about what? Now again, this is what's happening. They were commanded not to kill each other, not to turn out any one of them from their dwellings. After this, it is you who kill one another. How and when? And drive out a party of you from their homes. Assist their enemies. So did the Jews assist their enemies against other parts of the Jews? In sin and transgression. And if they come to you as captives, you ransom them. Now this is what's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that you were promised, you promised not to kill each other, nor to drive them out of their homes, of their dwellings. But it is you who kill one another, and you are driving out people from their dwellings. But after the war is ended, after the war is over, you ransom the captives. Those people who you were killing, and if some of them were captured, they are captives now, they are not killed, you ransom them. How could you do that? From the beginning, killing them is forbidden. Now, after they are captives, you ransom them. Why you fight them from the beginning? You see what's happening? The Jews are assisting another part against the Jews. And when they kill some Jews, and if they are victors, when the war is over, they come out and they say, oh, those are from our religion. Those are the Jews. We have to ransom them. So they free them. A short time ago, they were killing them. And now they free them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, do you believe in part of the book and reject the rest? When this happened? This happened before Islam. In Medina. This happened in Medina. How? Who was living in Medina? Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Who else? Who else? Weren't there Jews in Medina? How many tribes of Jews?
Three
tribes. So we have five tribes in total. We have two from the Arab and three from the Jews. The Arab, they used to fight each other. The Jews were extinguishing these wars. And when the Aus are fighting the Khazraj, the Aus has allies from the Jews. They have two tribes with them. Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nadir. Al-Khazraj, they have Banu Qurayza in their side. So what happens? The Aus are fighting the Khazraj. Banu Qurayza is fighting Al-Aus. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, they are fighting Al-Khazraj. When they fight each other, what happens? The Jews are also fighting each other, while it is forbidden. After the war is over, they come and they say, oh, those are our own people, so we have to ransom them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, from the beginning, you were commanded not to kill each other, not to fight each other. But you broke your promise. What do you learn from this ayah? What do you learn from this ayah? What are the lessons?
Don't fight among yourselves.
Don't fight among yourselves. Okay, what else?
Mm-hmm.
If they were obedient from the beginning, they did not need to ransom them, because they would never fight them, so they will never be captured as captives. Okay, prisoners of war. What else? Good. So we could say, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us in this life. It's better for us in this life and in the hereafter. Because if they did not fight, they will not have this problem. What else? Look at the last part of the ayah. Is it sufficient for someone to say, I want to pray but I don't want to pay zakah? Is it sufficient to say, the ayat from Mecca 82 surah, that's enough for me. I don't want the remaining 20 surahs of Medina. I can believe only in 82 surahs. That's blessing, enough. Is that accepted? Can you believe in part of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reject part of it? Do we pick and choose in our religion? All these are lessons we learned from the last part of the ayah. Islam, the true Islam, is the true submission. It's not according to our desires. That's we like, so we will follow. That's we don't like, so we will not follow. It's not like that. Then, what's the recompense of those who do so among you, except this grace in this life of this world? And on the day of resurrection, they shall be consigned to the most grievous torment. Again, torment here, it should be what? Punishment, because they deserve it. That's the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so what will happen to those who pick and choose, who try to do whatever they want, not whatever Allah wants? Disgrace in this world, in this life, and in the hereafter. So to avoid disgrace, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully, totally. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Okay, this is ayah 84 and 85. Now if I asked you to list for me 10 things that were taken from the Jews, from the children of Israel, to do, 10 covenants, you have to be able to list them. Next ayah, those are they who have bought the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة فلا يخفف عنهم العذاب. Again, their punishment shall not be lightened, nor shall they be helped. What will happen to those people? Their punishment shall not be lightened, nor shall they be helped. That's one of the characteristics of hellfire. It's unlike the fire of this life. If there is something burning for 2 days, then it will be lightened and it cools down. Hellfire does not cool down. It is the same. This is something different about hellfire. The next ayat, and indeed, we gave Musa the book and followed him up with the succession of messengers. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. Who are the messengers that they succeeded Musa alayhi salam? Who are the messengers that they succeeded Musa? Isa alayhi salam, who else? Isa is messenger, not messengers. Yes. Dawood. Is Dawood a messenger or a prophet? According to the definition we defined in Aqeedah. Yes. Isa and Muhammad, that's why it is S. To remind the Jews that those two messengers, you did not believe in them. Isa and Muhammad. Do the Jews believe in Isa? They don't believe in him. And they did not believe in the Prophet. So this is an evidence against them. And we gave Isa, that's why he's mentioned here. And we gave Isa, the son of Maryam, وَأَتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. Clear signs. آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And supported him with Ruh al-Qudus. What's the meaning here of Ruh al-Qudus? Jibreel alayhi salam. قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Who sends down the Qur'an from Allah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam? Jibreel alayhi salam. Who gave Isa alayhi salam the gospel? Jibreel. Is it that whenever there came to you a messenger with what you yourselves desired, not you grew arrogant? So that's the case with the Jews. A messenger came with things against their desires. So what did they do? They disbelieved. Some you disbelieved and some you kill. Did they kill any messenger? Yahya bin Zakaria. He is one, he is not some. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some? Again, if you attempt to kill one messenger, that means it is as if you killed them all. If you killed one, it is as if you killed them all. And they say, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are screened. What does that mean? Nay, Allah has cursed them for their disbelief. So little is that which they believe. Nay, here, in Arabic we say, بَلَّعَنَهُمْ. There is another word, كَلَّا. كَلَّا also translated as what? Nay. In Arabic, in the Quran, every place in the Quran you find كَلَّا, they say it is Meccan ayah or Meccan surah. But you cannot do this in English, because nay could be kalla and could be bal. But in Arabic, in the Quran, any word has kalla, it is a Meccan ayah or a Meccan surah. So, again, remember the levels of the disobedience. What happens to the heart? Screened, stamped, locked, sealed. Did you read what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned about them? Did you or didn't you? At the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, I asked you to read, because I will ask you about it in the exam, inshallah. So little is that which they believe. Ayah 89, and when there came to them a book from Allah, what is that book came to them? And when there came to them a book from Allah. Which book? Confirming what is with them, although aforetime they had invoked Allah in order to gain victory over those who disbelieved. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَّا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Tell me, Allah is talking about what book? And when there came to them a book from Allah, confirming what is with them. So what's the book of Allah and confirms what? What is with the Jews? What are you writing? What are you writing? The ayah is already there in the book. So answer me. What's the Quran? Where? What's in what? Exactly. And when there came to them a book, you replace a book with what? Quran. Quran came from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, confirming what is with them. What is with them? The Torah. We cannot put here the gospel, although they disbelieved in the gospel as well. But we have to put the Quran. Why? Because the next part of the ayah, although aforetime they had invoked Allah in order to gain victory over those who disbelieved. Who are those who disbelieved? No, Allah is telling the Jews, came to them a book from Allah confirming what they have. And they used to invoke Allah against those who disbelieved. The Jews used to invoke Allah against those who disbelieved. So Allah is talking about what? The Arab, exactly. Because in Medina, what happened? Before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what happened? What did the Jews tell the Arab? They used to threaten them. They used to tell them, we will slaughter you. We will kill you. How? By the support of the messenger that is coming and we believe in him. Once he came, did they believe? They did not believe. So Allah is reminding them that you used to invoke Allah to gain victory over those who disbelieved, over the Arab. But what happened eventually? The Arab became believers and the Jews became disbelievers. So you learn from this that guidance is not only by words. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who guides. Then when there came to them that which they had recognized, this is an evidence that they recognized the Quran. They recognized the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know that he is a prophet from Allah. They disbelieved in it. So let the curse of Allah be on the disbelievers. Did the Jews know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger? Yes. Did they believe in him? What does that tell you? Knowledge only, is it enough? Oh, I know prayer is obligatory, but you don't pray. What's the use? What's the use? Scholars say that this is a reason to curse everyone who has the knowledge, but he does not work according to it. It's very dangerous to have the knowledge, but you don't apply it in your life. The next ayah, how bad is that for which they have sold their own selves, that they should disbelieve in that which Allah has revealed, grudging that Allah should reveal of His grace unto him He wills of His servants. So what was the reason, the main reason for the Jews to disbelieve in the Prophet ﷺ? What was the main reason for the Jews to disbelieve in the Messenger ﷺ? So, what do you call this? Allah mentioned it. Look at the ayah. Arrogance here in the ayah, according to this ayah. Grudge, envy. That was the reason, right? They said he is not from us. They envied the Arab. They had the hatred. He had to be from the children of Israel. Again, we learn from this that prophethood is not according to our desires. It's not according to your qualifications. It is the choice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah chooses whom He wills. So they have drawn on themselves wrath upon wrath. What is the wrath? And what's the second wrath? And for the disbelievers, there is a disgracing punishment. What? For the...
They were supposed to kill one another, and then 40 years, and then punishment after punishment, and then they couldn't enter the city.
Okay.
And then finally, they got the Muslims in the community.
What's the first wrath, and what's the second wrath? Yes. Okay, they disbelieved after knowing Bazigha. That means it's one wrath. But why it is wrath upon wrath? They did two things. Yes.
When Allah's ruling didn't please them, they would turn away.
When Allah what?
When Allah's ruling did not please them, they would turn away.
Okay, when Allah's ruling did not please them, they turned away. So this is one wrath. Still. Yes.
Their
kufr in the prophets and attempt to kill them. Well, that's all close, but we have two different things. First, their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the things. Like, they broke their covenants. They breached the covenant several times. So they earned the wrath of Allah. And when the Prophet ﷺ came, they knew, but they disbelieved. So this is again another wrath. Now, if you don't know and you disbelieve, that's one wrath. That's not an excuse. But when you know also and you disbelieve, after all what you did, so you deserved the wrath upon wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And indeed, Musa came to you with clear proofs, yet you worshipped the calf after he left, and you were wrongdoers. Why Allah mentioned this? Didn't Allah mention this ayah earlier about worshipping the calf and they repented? Did Allah mention this or not? Why it is repeated here? What's the advantage? What's the lesson? Reminder of what? So, okay, Allah reminded them that they disobeyed Him. Exactly. Allah wants from them that they have to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, you worshipped the calf after we gave Musa clear proofs. And you were wrongdoers. And you repented. Now you are doing the same thing. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with clear proofs that he is a messenger. Yet you disbelieved in him. That's the reason why it's mentioned again. So believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are you doing, Baba? And remember, when we took your covenant and we raised above you the mount. Again, this is another covenant. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورَ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا. And remember, when we took your covenant and we raised above you the mount. Which mount? Which mount? At-Tur. Exactly. Where can we find this ayah? In another place in the Quran. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ. This is in Surah Al-A'raf. Last four pages of Surah Al-A'raf. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّ. You know the dhulla like the shade. The mount itself was taken. And it was raised over them. So you could look at it like that. Why Allah did this? Because again, they were disobedient. And Allah wanted to remind them. What will happen if the mount was left? Allah did not hold it. What will happen? It will crush them. So what did Allah say? Hold firmly. That's the covenant. Hold firmly to what we have given you and here. What they were given? The Torah, the commandments. They said, what did they say? We have heard and obeyed?
Disobeyed.
Exactly. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. So they knew, yet they disbelieved. That's why they earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew, yet they disbelieved. What does that tell you? After all these things, yet they still disbelieve. And their hearts absorbed the calf because of their disbelief. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. What does that mean? And their hearts absorbed the calf. What's the highest level of love? When this love is mixed with your heart, you cannot take it out. You cannot take the love without taking the heart itself. Just like if you have a colored cloth. This is white. If you put one color, and then you cannot extract that color. Unless you tear the entire garment. So the same thing. Allah is telling us the level of the kufr they reached. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. This is the highest level. They reached the highest level of disbelief. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Say, worst indeed is that which your faith enjoins on you if you are believers. قُلْ بِئْسَ مَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, what is the iman that you are saying? That's the iman. It commands you to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship the calf, to disbelieve in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Worst is it indeed. So this is very eloquent ayah, and their hearts absorb the calf. That's what will happen when someone loves to do something. He cannot abandon it. It's impossible. It's the highest level of love. The next ayat say, if the abad of the hereafter with Allah is indeed for you especially, and not for those, for others of mankind, then long for death if you are truthful. This is a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Jews. Because what did the Jews say? وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. The Jews and the children, they said, we are the children of Allah and the most beloved ones to Him. So Allah is telling the Jews, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ. If you say the hereafter is only for you, especially, then long for death. Why they should long for death if what they are saying is true? Because this life, it's not only for them. There are Jews, there are Christians, there are Muslims, there are atheists, there are lots of people. But when you know that you will get something only for you, you will long for it. You wish to get it quickly, as soon as possible. So they said this life is shared, but the hereafter, we are the chosen ones. We are the children of Allah, so Allah will choose us. So then why don't you wish to die? Because that's the only thing between you and reaching your ultimate goal, being the beloved, the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death only is separating between this life and the hereafter, when you will be chosen and you will have the good life. So you should long for death. But that's not the case. This is a method of challenge. When you tell someone, if you are true, do it. When he doesn't do it, that means he's not truthful. But they will never long for it because of what their hands have sent before them. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They know what they did. What did they do? What did they do? They disbelieved. They breached the covenant several times. So they knew that they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disbelieved in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they know that punishment is waiting for them. That's why they don't want to die. They are afraid of the hereafter. But they will never long for it because of what their hands have sent before them. And Allah is aware of the wrongdoers. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And verily, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. You will find them the greediest of mankind to life. And verily, you will find them the greediest of mankind for life. Who's the greediest of mankind for life? The Jews. Now remember, for life here, Allah did not say for the life. He said for life. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَا. In Arabic, when we say حَيَا, when I tell you, bring me water, did I specify which type of water? That means any water should be sufficient. But when I tell you, give me bottled water, or give me that water, that means I'm looking for something special. Here, they long for any type of haya. They wish to remain alive for any type of haya, even if it was humiliating, even if they were poor. Even, what does that tell you? If you are ready to live any life, you just don't want to die. What does that tell you? You are not doing something correct, because there is punishment waiting for you. That's why you don't want to die. But for the Muslims, we believe that this life is prison for us. Why? Compared to the hereafter, where you will have gardens, inshallah, you will have paradise. This life is nothing. That's why we don't care if we died. We want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that we did the good deeds, and for the wrong deeds, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, so eventually we'll end up in paradise. So we wish to die. And if death happened, it will happen. But for the Jews, as Allah says, They don't wish to die. You will find them the greediest of mankind for life, and then those who ascribe partners with Allah. What about those who ascribe partners with Allah? What about them? Do they wish to die or they wish to live long life? They wish to live long life. Why? Why? Did the idolaters... Exactly, they don't have any belief in the hereafter. That means they believe when they die, that's it, it's the end. So they want to live for longer life. So which one wishes for longer life? The one that he knows that if he died, it will stop, or the one that he knows if he died, it will not stop, but there is a punishment. Which one should wish for longer life? The first one, the Jews. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, the Jews wish to live longer life more than the idolaters, more than the pagans. It depends on, actually this is a miracle again in the Quran, because it depends on where you stop. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. It is as if Allah telling you, you will find them greediest for life. And those who disbelieve, those who ascribe partners with Allah. According to this, those who ascribe partners with Allah also wishes, they wish also to live long life. But if you stop, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ, then you continue, وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ, then there is a different meaning. So it depends on how you stop. I will not discuss it more because it's a linguistic issue. Yes, in the tafsir, it will give you more knowledge. But if you don't know Arabic, it will be difficult. Now, one of them wishes that he could be given a life of 1,000 years. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. That's how much they wish to live, for 1,000 years. But even if you lived not only for 1,000 years, even if you lived for more than that, but the grant of such life will not save him even a little from punishment. What's the use? If you will end up in hellfire, what's the use? Whether you live 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, you will end up in hellfire. So what's the use? And Allah is seer of what they do. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ. This is the second ayah. Say, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, for indeed he has brought it down to your heart by Allah's permission, confirming what came before it. Who's the enemy of Jibreel? Who's the enemy of Jibreel?
The Jews.
The Jews. Still, the ayah in the same context. Why the Jews are enemies of Jibreel? Why he's the angel who sent down the Torah to Musa alayhi salam? Jibreel. So they should love him. Why they are enemies? What's the evidence that Allah means the Jews with this ayah? Because they say he gave the message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. That's why they said we hate Jibreel. So Allah is telling them, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, for indeed, he has brought it down to your heart. To whose heart? To the heart of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah's permission. That means it's not Jibreel himself who chose. It is Allah's permission. Confirming what came before it. Confirming the Torah, the Gospel. So if you are declaring the animosity to Jibreel, actually you are declaring it to whom? To Allah. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلُوا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, that's the beauty of the ayah. It is as if you are enemy to Allah. If you say, I'm enemy to Jibreel, Jibreel doesn't do anything from his own. It is from Allah. And they said, he is our enemy also because he exposed our faults, our mistakes. The Jews amongst themselves, they used to talk. And Allah exposed what they said. It was disclosed in these ayat, previous ayat. When they are alone, they say, don't tell the Arab about what we know. It will become an evidence against us. So again, if you say, I am the enemy of Jibreel, then as if you are saying, I am the enemy of Allah. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, His angels, His messengers, Jibreel and Mikael, then verily, Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. Okay. Now, we're moving to an interesting story. Story of Harut and Marut. This is ayah number 101 and 102. It talks about magic. And actually, I'd like to stop here because it will take a long time. I don't like to start with it. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.